On today's episode of VR Coven, let's wing it. Did anyone ask for Doom 3 VR? Always remember how scummy Facebook can be, and Goodwill uses VR to better the world. Welcome back to the VR Coven. I'm Michael. Let's talk about virtual reality.
For the love of virtual reality.
Oh man, there is a war brewing over what exactly we should call this ecosystem that encompasses both virtual reality and augmented reality. I thought that we were past this. I thought it was obvious that they are two separate things. They are never going to be able to seamlessly combine into one coexistence. A lot of places are starting to call it XR when both are available within a headset or other experience. And honestly, XR, which I believe is supposed to stand for extended reality, just doesn't really roll off the tongue. And in fact, I think it confuses people, because believe it or not, there's also apparently something to do with the iPhone XR, which is brand new to me because I pay almost no attention to Apple. No shade against them. It's just not my area of expertise. But when a company that big stakes a claim on two letters, you're going to have a difficult time differentiating in the mass market, and you're just going to confuse people. Why would you want to confuse people? Why are you doing this to us? I don't know. But it is a feverish argument on my Twitter timeline at VR Coven. If you want to tweet at me about what you think about VR, AR, and XR, I think in the end, what's going to happen is one major company, maybe Valve, maybe Facebook, are going to put their stamp of approval on one of these terms, or two of these terms if they choose to go the traditional route, and we're all just going to move on with our lives until someone in the marketing department decides that they want to try and hype up the effects of XR in the future, once we've all forgotten about how annoying it is that we have to have this conversation right now. I've only been talking about this for less than 2 minutes and I'm already exhausted, because it's something that doesn't matter. It's reclassifying something that we already have names for, and it might make it easy for their marketing department. I'm really railing on marketing departments lately. Maybe it's because I'm in marketing and I can't stand the scummy nature of some of the stuff they do, and renaming in order to revitalize something just sounds like a typical marketing solution to a problem. Of course, along with VR and AR discussions comes the idea that VR is dead, which is news to me, because last time I checked, I'm still loving VR and there's constantly new games coming out. Yes, the markets are closing. Valve, Facebook, what's the other one? Oh my God. Tune out of this show right now. I can't remember. Oh my God. Vive? Who makes Vive now? All by themselves. But that just goes to show that one of the major... HTC Vive. That just goes to show that the market is closing even more, because what used to be one of the pillars of the virtual reality existence has completely slipped my brain. But please, sound off on that as well. Is virtual reality dead? Maybe I'm asking the wrong group of people if you're listening to a virtual reality podcast, but it is something that I've thought about at length whenever it comes up. Just what is the longevity of virtual reality this time around? Is it going to be like 3D in movies, where it had a resurgence for about a year and a half to 2 years, and now it's just something that sometimes they tack on as a way to try and sell more tickets? I definitely don't think that's going to be the case, but I want to hear what you have to say. At VR Coven on Twitter, VR@massiveglitch.com. Shoot me a tweet, shoot me an email. Let's start a conversation.
Is this the news?
This is the news.
Who asked for Doom VR? No, I really want to know. And I was going back and forth on if I actually wanted this to be, you know, part of the news section, the opening section, talking about games. But I really wanted to bring this up here because it came out of left field, in my opinion, and it's unwarranted. Let's take a quick look here. Doom VFR, which stands for exactly what you think it does, had a mixed review on Steam aggregate of total 58%, and most recently 50%. An article on Kotaku caught my attention because they were reviewing Doom 3 VR. And you might be going to me right now, Michael, isn't that the most maligned of Doom games? Yeah, it absolutely is. No one I've ever spoken to has liked Doom 3. At most, people say that they liked particular sections in it because it made it a little more unique than just constantly shooting, but that's also what most people complained about, was how slow and boring the game was for having the name Doom slapped onto it. So in what way did Bethesda and id and now Microsoft think that it was a good idea to launch this? Was Doom 3 VR just like Microsoft saying, hey, they were working on this project, we might as well just let them kick it out the door before we finalize this sale? But according to Kotaku, Sax Wizen, if I'm saying that correctly, it's a better experience in VR, which, hey, maybe that's just a sign that most games are better when they're in virtual reality. This game in particular, Doom 3 VR, has made a couple of quality of life changes specifically for VR, which is a great idea because it's a very old game, and I hardly imagine that just a straight port from normal game to VR would have been smooth or acceptable. According to Zach, the devs made some smart changes to help Doom 3 work better as a VR title. HUD elements are moved to your arms and weapons, making it easier to keep track of your ammo and health at a quick glance. Gun models have been improved too, so they look better in VR. Could you just imagine this giant hunk of gray blob sitting in your face for like 12 hours? Another nice change, the Doom guy in Doom 3 now holds the pistol with two hands. This doesn't help the VR experience, but it makes me happy, and so I'm sharing that fact with you. Graphical upgrades. Now, this is the one thing that interested me when reading through the article, is that due to the way that the game was built, due to the fact that it was on older consoles and PC, it did not throw a lot of enemies at you at one time. And as anyone who's played any amount of VR knows, especially in those early days, managing enemies is a Herculean task in VR games. And so old school game design has boosted Doom 3 VR to be a more enjoyable VR experience, simply because they didn't have the processing power to overload you with a ton of enemies like in the newer Doom games. And for the most part, it does look like the game was contracted out to an outside developer or a subsidiary of Bethesda. But that can't wash away the fact that the game was subpar to begin with. You can't take a massive turd and polish it until it's great. If anything, they would have to build it from the ground up to make it appealing, which I would definitely play a rebuilt Doom 3 with some modern sensibilities, but that's not what's happening here. All the same, I have to appreciate the fact that whoever made the initial decision to port this over to virtual reality saw the promise of virtual reality, and no matter what, making a Doom game in VR is going to make big headlines, and it's going to draw attention to VR and the capabilities of VR. So while I can sit here and complain and be befuddled by their decision, I have to also thank them for seeing the potential, putting money, resources, and time into it. if it even only converts hundreds of people. In news that is probably unsurprising to anyone who has been alive for more than 10 years, Facebook continues to show its ugly side. This is coming from The Independent, and it doesn't have a direct correlation with VR, but it does have an extenuating one. Facebook will not notify the 500 million users caught up in its huge data leak. Facebook said that the data was gathered before 2019. It later said that malicious actors had obtained the data prior to September 2019 by scraping profiles using a vulnerability in the platform's tool for syncing contacts, and that the loophole that allowed them to do so had now been closed. But it said that it did not inform users when the leak happened and does not have plans to do so now. The Facebook spokesman said the social media company was not confident and had full visibility on which users would need to be notified. Well, maybe you should just notify all of them, but that's just me. He said it also took into account that users could not fix the issue and that the data was publicly available in deciding not to notify users. Facebook has said it plugged the hole after identifying the problem at the time. The reason I talk about this is that it could have ramifications for Oculus, the people who use Oculus. Obviously, your data is going to be stored within the same servers in Facebook, with Facebook. And so if your data is scraped, or if someone you know's data is scraped, you're going to be affected. And it just ties into the fact that I continue to believe that Facebook is an extremely problematic company. And I can say that with confidence, despite the fact that they are one of the biggest pushers of head-mounted displays. The fact that they are a champion of virtual reality does not negate the fact that other parts of their company deal in shady ways. And honestly, the way in which Facebook acts directly reflects how I respond and directly reflects my desire to stay away from getting an Oculus, no matter how good the price point is. Now, if you already have one of the Oculus headsets, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But until Facebook decides to put on its grown-up pants and actually start looking out for its people, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in anything that they're doing on the ground floor. Now, they can say that they patched it in 2019 and they took care of it, and there's nothing that anyone could have done other than them, so there's no point in letting other people know. But people deserve to know because it is their information. Even if the people who got that information cannot do anything with it, those people who have been stolen from have a right to be alerted to it. And what ends up happening, especially in this case, in my opinion, is Facebook refuses to alert people. The news gets out, and that's a whole lot of bad press for them. That only ends up harming their virtual reality bottom line, because people continue to distrust Facebook at an alarming rate. And guess what? You don't know who had their data scraped? I've seen you, Facebook. I've seen you send out notifications to pretty much all of Facebook before, letting them know about a natural disaster or something like that. You can do that for your own platform. Be a little more responsible. I know that's not a new complaint. That's not a new request of Facebook. But the longer the complaint goes on, the more severe the problem appears. And we need to shed light on it. But let's get out of here. Let's get beyond the scummy side of things, and let's turn towards something a little more lighthearted and exciting in virtual reality. According to VR Scout, Goodwill and Accenture are using VR to help former prisoners. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 10,000 incarcerated individuals are released from state and federal prison every week. That tallies up to over 650,000 ex-prisoners per year. Let's not even get into the fact that the industrial prison complex is ridiculous, and that number should never, ever be that high. Well, let's get back to the story. I don't want to editorialize too much my opinion here. One of the biggest challenges is transitioning these individuals, some of whom incarcerated for over 10 years, back into a society where they can re-enter today's workforce. To offer some much-needed assistance in this area, Goodwill has partnered with Accenture to create Project Overcome, an innovative program designed specifically for ex-prisoners that uses VR as a tool to prepare them for the process of searching, applying, interviewing, and hopefully landing a job after prison. Through VR, individuals in the Project Overcome program experience mock interviews with virtual HR managers. Here they learn how to speak comfortably about their incarceration, as well as learn how to operate modern technologies. Similar to how companies are using VR and AR to help recruit, train, and connect with their employees, Project Overcome is leveraging the immersive capabilities of VR technology to educate users on important life skills that can lead to individual success. I never got a chance to talk about this because I had to take an extended break from recording this podcast. But there was an article that really ruffled my feathers. If I could find it, I would. It'll probably be in the show notes. And I might end up talking about it in the future anyway. But they talked about how virtual reality was a source of evil because of the amount of billionaires who were flocking to use it as a technology to control the masses. I think this was on The Verge. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that until you see my show notes. And my main argument against that comment, that opinion, is stuff like this, where it's taking something that is perceived as a negative, convicted individuals, prisoners, and using technology, virtual reality in this instance, to teach them how to adapt back into society. If we continue to push prisoners to only be stuck in prison and get into the cycle of being constantly released and then right back into prison because they haven't figured out a way to adapt, and prison hasn't given them the tools to adapt to society. There's no reform in that currently. But if we create the tools and we create these environments, virtual environments, where these people can learn and they can figure out what works for them in order to become a functioning member of society again. That is what virtual reality is good for. That is why, no matter what billionaires do with virtual reality, whatever they plan to do with virtual reality, it is not a force for evil. It is not a bad thing. Hundreds, if not thousands, of developers work on virtual reality in a way that improves people's lives. And I wanted to shine a light on this particular story. It's not the newest story. It was posted on April 8th, but I wanted to showcase it. And when I do share that article with you through the show notes that says that billionaires are going to destroy the world with virtual reality, essentially, I want you to go to that article and scroll down, because at the very end of that article, the recommended video talks about how virtual reality is being used to teach people how to function. It is teaching people how to experience certain things that they've never experienced before. And if that is not the tombstone on top of the graveyard for that article, I don't know what is. Good for Goodwill, good for Accenture, good for any company or individual who wants to create something in virtual reality that makes it easier for others to cope with reality. And that might seem small or silly. Who needs to rely on a computer game in order to function? But think about the applications here, not just for incarcerated individuals, but people who want to learn how to do something that they've never done before, they've never had experience with before. But virtual reality can create an instance where there are no real life ramifications for failing. Say, for instance, that you want to learn how to work on your car. What if there is a program that allows you to boot up exactly the car that you have, with all of the make and model, the engine, the parts that make that car up, and you get to experiment with working on it until you are comfortable working on the real thing, if you're ever comfortable. Maybe you get in and you realize it's not right for you. But what ends up happening there is you end up spending anywhere from $20 to $50 rather than thousands when you accidentally break your car. This is why virtual reality, AR, and dare I say it, XR, is not going to die anytime soon. It might change. It might not look the same in a couple of years, because it certainly didn't look the same 2 years ago. But it is stronger than ever. Whew, I didn't mean to be that mix of aggressive and inspirational at the same time. Ugh, that's it for the news. Let's move on. Jeez, I'm getting scared of how intense I'm getting.
Wow, games.
This is usually the time in the show where I talk about the games I'm playing and what games I'm excited about that are coming out. But honestly, my car broke down, which is the reason why I've been gone for a month. And I haven't had that much research time between that and a couple of other things that came up. So I think today, due to how long the episode is already running, we're going to jump past games. I'm sorry. If you think that the show needs to be longer, go ahead and let me know at VRCoven on Twitter and VR@massiveglitch.com. And let me know how long you want it to be. I know that's a weird question to ask, but, you know, why not? Why not? Maybe someone will want to chime in on wanting the show to be 3 hours long, and I'll go, no, I'm good. Thank you, though.
This show is a Massive Glitch. Find more Massive Glitches at MassiveGlitch.com.
Thank you so much for listening today. As I've mentioned multiple times in this show, go ahead and contact me with any thoughts, opinions, questions, or grievances at VRCoven or VR@MassiveGlitch.com. If you'd like to support me in the show, why don't you go over to MassiveGlitch.com? Or you can support us directly by going to anchor.fm/VRCoven. I want to thank every last listener, because this started out as a little experiment of mine just to see if I would enjoy talking about VR for a certain amount of time every week. And believe it or not, I absolutely do. And I'm going to be sticking around for quite some time. So I appreciate it. This has been VR Coven. I'm Michael. See you next time.
This was a Massive Glitch.